My name is Malcolm Hudson. I did this work with Stephen Reiners, Stephen White, and Dr. Dirk Reiners from the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. This is a presentation of Janus VF, Accurate Navigation Using SCAT and Virtual Fiducials. What is Janus VF? Janus VF is a tracking solution for fully enclosed spaces, such as six-walled caves and cave-like devices. But why do we need another tracker? Traditional tracking technologies do not allow us to exploit the advantages of fully enclosed spaces. The level of precision during interaction is too poor in comparison to what we would expect from a desktop VR setup. In order to facilitate our future research in fully enclosed spaces, a better tracker was required. Of the existing options, magnetic trackers seem like an obvious choice for fully enclosed spaces. However, even when compensating for static noise, the movement of dense objects can result in unpredictable distortions. Furthermore, magnetic trackers tend to be inaccurate over large spaces, even with multiple transmitters. Acoustic and acoustic inertial trackers are also frequently employed, but because the sound cannot permeate the screen, sensors must be placed in visible locations. Neglecting the visual artifacts, acoustic trackers suffer near walls and corners. Optical trackers are very popular for common VR systems, but standard methods with retroreflective markers, active markers, fiducials, LED point sensing require that the sensors and the cameras be in obviously visible locations. Previous work in this area has been done by Voroskovs in the Hedgehog project. A head-worn array of lasers is projected onto the screens and are tracked by cameras that are mounted external to the space. Lasers are in their visible spectrum and can disrupt the stereo fusion to the stereo fusion by highlighting the true depth of the screen, and though they compensate for it, they do pose a slight danger to the eyes of observers. While they are low cost compared to commercial systems that their results are comparative to, they are still expensive in the range of providing 6 to 8 cameras, the microcontrollers, lasers, the fabricated array, and the fact that it requires a permanent installation. For Janus VF, we start with the initial goals of being very low cost, reliable in the presence of noise, robust in the presence of occlusions, high accuracy, low latency, and to have a reasonable update rate. These are very similar to any tracker. But we have the additional goals that we'd like this to be easy to construct and implement of commodity parts and equipment. We require that there be no visible elements in the space, whether that be elements of our hardware or artifacts from our tracking system. And we'd like for this to be efficient enough to run on a laptop and hopefully mobile platforms that are even smaller. So Janus VF is a cooperization of the visualization software and the tracking system. As in this video, a head-mounted camera tracks virtual fiducials that are drawn only behind the user after the initial acquisition. The hardware required for this, we use a Point Grey Flea 2 Firewire camera. As a monochrome camera, gives us a resolution of 648 by 488 and a frame rate of 80 FPS. In the backpack worn by the user is a laptop. The rest of the hardware consists of a bicycle helmet and a simple tripod to mount the camera to it. Software in Janus VF. The VR is handled by a VR Juggler framework. Camera and lens were calibrated in the MATLAB calibration toolbox. For image processing and camera triangulation, we use AR Toolkit Plus with BCH markers. BCH markers shown in the top right there. This is a common practice for augmented reality, different for use in VR. We can use up to 4,096 of these markers, and because they are non-templated, there's no penalty for using all of them. We're not doing image matching or anything like that. For the serving of the VR interaction, we use VRPN built into ours, so you could easily port this to another VR framework. And for state estimation input filtering, we use the SCAT EKF algorithm. single constraint at a time. So SCAP EKF is a special type of extended common filter. It allows us to use small updates, each with a partial information about the current state, to estimate the globally observable state. We use the idea proposed by Welch for handling pose rotation nonlinearities internal to the state of our filter. We keep incremental orientation angles, and we use these at every step to update an external quaternion. It also facilitates us to, in the future, update this to easily include hybrid inertial integration. Additionally, we can it supports auto-calibration. So internal to the overall filter, we can have smaller device filters that can calibrate for parameters of the system that we will use to project handle things like vertical and horizontal skew of projector error. This is an organization of the information flow from the software. On the initial start of the VR Juggler application, Janus VF graphics hooks inside the application parse the VR Juggler configs that configure the display surfaces and orientation. And we statically map these markers onto the display surfaces, and these are stored in the fiducial database. Using previous information about the head state, we predict where the head will be during the next frame update. The camera views these fiducials in a backpack worn by the user. These images are captured, and along with the information about the static placement of these markers in the fiducial database, AR Toolkit Plus can render for us the camera to world orient transformation, and this we can easily compute from the local transformation to the user's eye position. This noisy data is fed to the SCAT filtering algorithm, and from there we can update and predict and send data through the VRPN server back to the graphics loop to complete the system. So I said they were arranged in static grids. During the original startup, we parse the configuration and place markers with fixed position on the screens. To reduce the complexity of the system, and so that we do not require synchronization, these markers never move. Greatly simplifies the system. We also have 8 grids per surface, so we have multiple resolutions of grids. In the top right, you see this is a simple drawn graphic of it, where we have 5 fiducials per edge. In the bottom left, you can see that there are 4 per edge, and on the right, I think there's about 9 per edge. All of these are co-located, but only one of the particular grids is shown at any one time. The particular grid is chosen by the distance of the user to the surface. And this is done to optimize the recognition of the fiducials. Fiducials are, it's a noisy task. So we increase the accuracy of the tracker by maximizing the effectiveness. The resolution is discretely determined by the distance to the surface. And we optimize the size of the marker in the camera image for the algorithm. And this is a full video demonstration of it in use, a little bit longer. So I have a backpack, the laptop worn by the user. Very low cost. So in the initial state, all of the markers are on. Once the first one is acquired, it begins tracking. And then the fiducials will only be drawn behind the user. As she's exploring the scene and turning around, they stay behind her. demonstration of the discrete sizing as he walks away from the wall. A larger and larger grid is chosen. And as he returns to the wall, the grid gets smaller again. This is a demonstration of the head rotation. So we did some static testing at four predefined distances, and at each one we placed the camera with a very specific positioning and measured the camera's the positioning RMS at each of the available resolutions, and looked at the and looked how they varied. You can see at this particular graph at the right, at resolutions of 1, 2, and 3, there was no recognition. At 4, were very noisy. The error was, in this case, minimized at a resolution of 6. There's a trade-off between having very large markers where we have, where camera pixel error has a smaller effect, versus when we have more markers and we have more edges to compute. For dynamic tests, we rigidly attached the Janus VF tracker to a wired InterSense IS900 that is permanently installed in our space. And we did a 5-minute test through typical navigation through a scene and simultaneously recorded the outputs of both systems. We noticed a delay of our system of 60 milliseconds behind the InterSense, and a difference over the entire period of 2.29 centimeters RMS. In this case, the InterSense is not quite ground truth, so this is probably an upper bound on the noise error, but is there to provide a reference to a commercially available system. A problem that we noticed early on was ambient light. If we display the fiducials with full white on black brightness, you can see there's in this picture that the back and the reflection on the helmet, there's lots of extra light in the scene that really shouldn't be there that can be distracting. We experimented with two different ways to compensate for this. The first way is that we tested the RMS under varying levels of opacity over the underlying scene. Shown to the right, is a graph of the RMS as we varied the levels of opacity. By 80% opacity, the error had lowered to 1.28 millimeters RMS. During this test, we had a moving textured interior scene underneath to encourage possible interference that we would see in real practice. The second option that we tried was actually varying the levels of gray tones in place of the white regions of the fiducials. This was much more effective. The AR Toolkit Plus does automatic thresholding and contrast balancing. By a gray level of 80%, the error had reduced to 0.427 millimeters, as this is roughly comparable to the resolution that we got when we were using full-on white. This is what we chose to use for the rest of our tests. Some achievements to the system. It's a high-precision tracking system for fully enclosed spaces. We achieved a static RMS of 0.4274 and a comparison of 2.286 centimeters RMS from a professionally installed InterSense IS900. We have a fast update rate. We are processing the images at 80 frames per second. And we see, on average, about 6 fiducial observations per second. The system requires no specially fabricated hardware besides screwing the tripod to a helmet. It requires no permanent hardware. There was nothing that was required to be installed to the space. We're able to run the software on the backpack and walk into the space. It requires no visible elements. If the system's working correctly, you never see these markers. And there's nothing that will come between the user and the display surface. It has a very, very low hardware cost. And there's an automatic configuration in VR Juggler. So if VR Juggler is configured correctly, the placement and the configuration as far as this application is concerned is automatic. There's a very low coding overhead for existing VR applications. The code is in a single class as far as for the graphics application. Single caller during the initialization to generate the actual fiducial placements. A call in the preframe to determine what fiducials will be visible and at what resolution during the next frame of the camera, and once at the end of the draw loop to place these over the user's scene. These are low luminosity gray on black fiducials that are able to be handled just as well by AR Toolkit Plus, and we've worked with dynamically resizing the fiducials to maximize the recognition. Future work is the using the SCAP features to do auto calibration of the projector error. Planning on doing wand tracking similar to how in Tin Myth project or in other AR techniques where they have a forward mounted camera and fiducials on the peripherals or hands. Plan to integrate an inertial sensor to make it a hybrid inertial system. It'll greatly reduce the noise that we see. Besides just doing the straight gray tones, we're also considering doing adaptive gray tones, so actually analyzing the contents of the scene at the current point so that the colors and the light actually matches the current scene. Also working with smarter fiducial placement, so right now we're only displaying one discrete size at a time. We may do things such as the image at the right where we do a quad tree population of the camera's viewing area to maximize the recognition even further. And we hope to migrate this to smaller platforms than the laptop, such as smaller handheld computers. Thank you very much, and please come see our demo at Light during the reception tonight.
That's a really nice use of projected fiducials. One question I have, and maybe this is why one of the reasons you're considering other fiducial arrangements, were you noticing any anomalies when you switched instantaneously from one fiducial size to another?
No. We don't care when fiducials aren't seen. Each one provides a small information about the state, so it doesn't matter which fiducial we see, it's always correct in placement and time. So it's an update no matter where it comes from. We treat each one as an individual source sensor pair.
Okay, but you still have a camera that's seeing first one fraction of a second, it's seeing this fiducial, let's say, mm-hmm. or this set of fiducials, and it's seeing a completely different set of fiducials. I was wondering if you were seeing any change in the computed pose that you were getting.
No more than we would in any frame to frame. So we do not see an effect switching between the resolutions.
Okay, thanks.
I agree, very nice. I really enjoyed that. I was thinking of when the patterns are behind me, I was thinking of like a Miyazaki film or something. These are like the soot sprites that are hiding from the person. They don't even know they're back moving around. So the quote you gave for the latency compared to the IS900, which was a pretty high standard, do you have any sense of how much of that, or did you factor out the delay, the error due to the delay at all, or is that just... That's an RMS error without regard for delay or static accuracy. Just curious.
That was just total error. We created a fake VRPN endpoint to record both of them. So that is all the way from sensing to reception.
Okay.
No finer granularity on that yet.
So if you shifted your waveforms to get rid of the delay, for example, and compared them, it might be considerably better.
Yes.
Yeah. That's nice.
Did you try to minimize the number of fiducials that you require?
Try to minimize the number of fiducials required. I don't have any quantitative numbers on that, but as far as we were trying to minimize, we have parameters of the lens, we know what the field of view is, and we try and minimize the actual angle that we project as the camera's frustum to determine what's visible. So we minimize on that, but at the same time, we leave it large enough that when you spin fast enough, there's still fiducials that are visible to be seen. So it might need a user test to determine what's really feasible is how wide we can display and still not be perceived.
Similar to the first question, do you have any problems when you switch fiducial sizes that you kind of observe half frames type of thing? You understand what I'm trying to say?
Okay, so so the system's running at, the projectors are running at 96 hertz and it's active stereo, but we're projecting, or we're displaying them on both channels. So it really does look like a solid image at that point, and the cameras are at 80 FPS. The worst case scenario is that at one particular frame, you don't actually see an entire fiducial, and it's not perceivable enough to cause a problem.
Okay, the tracking system is made for fully closed environments. Your system is, you can close it, but it's five sides, so it's actually one side is open. So I wonder, you might lose tracking actually if you stand in front of the cave, like, and you in the very back and you see everything in front of you. So if I look at this picture, I mean, behind the person, like everything behind the user, everything is displayed, but your camera does not have this angle. So I wonder if this also works for environments that are not fully closed, but a little bit open as well.
It would probably work reasonably well for a four-wall cave where you at least have a surface behind you. And we expect that you don't do anything that's too unreasonable in a four-wall cave because you're really not going to be looking at the floor or the ceiling unless you're looking at your feet. The door was obviously open for taking pictures, but we do close the door, in which case there's always a surface visible. But to that I would say it was designed specifically for fully enclosed spaces to address a missing technology.
How many steps, how far do you have to step into the cave so that you get tracking?
How far? At the current orientation of the camera, I think it was picking up if you're 2 or 3 feet into the cave. Obviously we were able to fake all of these shots.
I'll try it out tonight.
Okay, sounds good.
Similar question, different direction. How close can you get to the wall with the camera? Because at some point you're going to lose focus completely.
In the current one we're doing, we're probably about as close as we reasonably want people to get to the screens. And that would be backing all the way up to a wall, in which case you wouldn't really know where the wall was behind you, so if someone who owned the space was behind you, they'd push you forward. But I think the distance is probably on the order of a foot right now, as far as the camera to the surface.
Any more questions? Okay, let's thank the speaker one more time.